Welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined here in studio with my friend and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
Woo! What's up, Patrick?
And Dan, I am so excited because today on Encounter, we are going to be having Kevin Zawala, a.k.a., also known as performing artist, Mr. Peace.
Mr. Peace
yes.
in the house!
So before we jump into the spirit of peace with Mr. Peace, let's enter into a prayer of peace. Go for it, Dan.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, we pray that you would bring your power, your fire, your breath, your peace, Lord. We pray that we'd be a people that are free from anxiety, free from stress, that we would reign in peace with you, but that we would carry your passion, we would carry your hunger, your zeal. Come, Holy Spirit, flood our hearts and our minds. Give us a hunger for souls. Give us a hunger for people, Lord, to love them like you love them.
Father, I thank you for calling everyone into mission. I thank you for the assignment that you've put on people's lives. Father, I pray that as people hear the story of Kevin, of how you touched Kevin, of how you called him out of the place where he was and into a marvelous light of ministry, I pray that you would just continue to percolate and just bring people into the destiny and the calling that you have for them, that they will be world changers, that they will be unstoppable because we have and we do everything in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Dan.
Woo, it's going to be a good day.
It's good to have you back, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
So I'm really excited about Kevin, Mr. Peace. He is awesome. And one of the things that I want our listeners to know right off the bat is that Kevin, he ministers to youth in a big way, and then he goes all over the place and he speaks. And he shares a message that he wants to get to everybody. I love the thing I love about Kevin, he doesn't find a niche. Like, I speak to these people, you know, or I speak to social justice people, or I do the Bible study people, or I focus on, you know, this sect or that sect. He wants to hit everybody.
Wow.
Every kind of, I don't know, background. And I feel like this is something that we need to highlight on our show, is being able to communicate the gospel in terms that meet people where they are. And there's that buzz phrase, we need to meet people where they are. But what does that look like? Mm. And I'm excited because Kevin, I believe, actually manifests and incarnates what that principle looks like. And I want to talk about that Pauline principle of being all things to all men later. But also, Kevin also communicates the gospel in a way that, you know, he's doing it with hip-hop,
wow.
with rap. And I think that... you know, if you're Catholic and you're listening to this because this is Catholic radio, you might be scandalized by hip hop.
Yeah.
Because the images that you see might not be all that pure and good.
Hmm.
But at the same time, I know that Christianity, our whole history is finding things that might have been once used for evil and then we baptize them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Germans used to worship, you know, trees, right? And we baptized them and made them Christmas trees, right?
Nice.
I think the same principle can apply to hip-hop, okay?
Heck yeah.
And so, in terms of my opinion, I don't demonize that. And I think I love what Mr. Peace is doing. He's finding the good in that. And it's something that just, it appeals to the youth culture right now. But he's bringing Christ into it. So, Dan, there's another thing, too, is in his talk, or in his testimony, we're going to be hearing about the power of the prophetic gifts at work to hear God's voice for other people, and then the way that that actually brought him into conviction, into both an encounter with Christ and to a conviction of what God was calling him to do.
Wow.
So I want to talk about those two things, being all things to all people for the purpose of salvation, but also the power of prophecy and what we can learn right now. But Dan, can you share with us this Pauline principle of being all things to all people?
Heck yeah, yeah. So this comes... from Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says this, though I am free and belong to no one, I made myself a slave to everyone as to win as many people over as possible. Let's just start with that. Isn't that beautiful?
Whoa.
Like, who has that mentality when they wake up in the morning? Do they say, I want to win as many as possible over for the gospel, right? I want to claim as many souls as possible for Jesus. I want to win them over. So he says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
To those under the law, I became like one under the law to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law to win those who were not under the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel. Amen. I just love Paul. Like, that is a true missionary spirit, that whatever it takes, I'm going to win you over, and I'm going to love you where you're at. This is what Jesus does, right? Jesus, I love the gospel because Jesus doesn't heal us from heaven. God had the power to heal us and to redeem us from heaven. He didn't have to become man, but what does he do? He takes on the form of man. He mm-hmm. comes to our level. He meets us where we're at. He walks with us. He suffers.
He emptied himself,
yeah. Becoming the form of a slave, right? Not so much so that he could heal us, because he could have done that in any way, but so that we could see him and identify with him. And that's what Paul is doing. He's becoming another Christ. He says, I'm going to come to where you are, and I'm going to pull you up, and I'm going to help save you through the gospel. The God wants us to identify with those in our lives, to become weak with them, to suffer with them. This is what Mother Teresa does, right? She becomes weak with those who are weak, and then pulls them up with the gospel.
That's so good.
It's beautiful.
And I feel like that's actually humility. I mean, we can get so stuck in our particular tribe that we're not willing to, I don't know, we might look down on other people, but we have to like get out of our own comfort zone. And I think that's what it comes down to. Paul was willing to get out of his comfort zone and accompany people where they were and to identify with them. And it wasn't him in his natural giftedness, it was the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit that enabled them to build that trust. And, yeah. I feel like in terms of like youth culture, that's exactly what you have to do. You have to meet people where they are. You need to become like them, appear like them, be like them, and then lead them to the gospel.
Yeah, and what's the goal? It's to win people over, right? And so it's not enough just to go down and meet them where they're at and never win them over. And that's a form of ministry that some people fall into, where they're like, oh, well, I'm just going to meet them where they're at. But that what they're doing is they're not pulling them up. And Paul's motivation wasn't simply to meet people where they're at, to meet them where they're at. That wasn't the end game, right? The end game was to win them over for the sake of the gospel, to save their soul, and to bring them redemption.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
That's it.
The other thing that I think is so cool about his story is that we're going to hear him talk about like hearing God, and in such a personal way through other people, that he got convicted, that God spoke through other people. And I know, you know, in terms of how we can hear from God, you know, it's very common to be like, yeah, I experienced God through other people, and you know, we get that principle, but what does that actually mean? What does that look like? And I think what we need to do is not be afraid to use the biblical terms that were taught to us. The gift of prophecy is hearing the voice of God for another person, declaring that word to them, a word that would build them up, encourage them, and give them comfort, that points to them, that points them to the destiny that God has for them, to see the potential that people have in God's eyes, because you're sharing the mind of Christ in that moment. And so, I mean, this is so powerful that it brought Kevin to a place where he had the grace to actually go forth and do the things that he was hearing. And one of the things I love, Dan, I love evangelization. And I think that like kind of that's the end game of our show, that you encounter Christ, that you can bring others to encounter Christ.
Yeah.
But, you know, Paul in his writings, he actually talks about, there's only a few times where he said, this is the reason that people came to believe. And one of them is 1 Corinthians 14. And he's talking about these assemblies, these gatherings of believers. And he's talking about, you know, the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. And he says basically this, I'm going to paraphrase, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 14, 27. He's talking about tongues, and he says, you know, if a bunch of people come together and you're all speaking in tongues, and an unbeliever enters, will they not think that you're out of your mind? And actually, that's verse 23, sorry. And then he says, but in verse 24, if you all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he will be convicted by all, the secrets of his heart being revealed, and he will fall down and worship God.
Wow.
So prophecy gets, when it's authentic, right, gets to the heart of another person, and it leads them to worship and become a believer in that God is truly present with you. And yeah. I love that. And I feel like we need to recover that prophetic dimension in our faith and have the boldness to do that, not just in a prayer meeting, but wherever we go, be open to hearing God's voice. And that's what, I mean, when we read the catechism about confirmation, it strengthens you to respond to the biddings and promptings of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we hear the voice of God, I believe, as people filled with the Holy Spirit, we hear God's voice regularly in our daily lives. We're afraid to speak that to others, right? We see someone, and the God is naturally speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, this word that he wants us to share with someone, but we're afraid to share it. And what Paul is saying is, no, if the Lord gives you a word, share it forth, because that's going to convict their hearts, and they'll worship God.
So good. And it's, I love so it. In verse 25, it says, the secrets of his heart will be revealed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. And that's what that's an encounter experience right there. So I'm excited for you to hear Kevin's story. And so basically, we're going to be bringing him on in a few minutes. But the thing that I want to really focus on is an openness. Like, what is the call, the mission? So every encounter that we have ultimately leads to a mission. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what would happen? I mean, it's kind of unhealthy when we just focus on encountering God. And maybe that might look like going to a conference and then another conference, or a camp and then another experience. What happens if we don't be open to mission?
You're not a disciple. I mean, it's that blunt, like Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So discipleship is a twofold reality. First, we follow Christ. Secondly, we become a fisher of men. If we are simply following Jesus Christ, but we're not seeking to be a fisher of men, we're only half a disciple, right? And so, and the gospel has been given to us so that we can share it with others. It's good news. You don't keep good news to yourself, right? And so we don't want to fall prey to this false discipleship where it's all about me and Jesus. It's this mentality of Paul. I want to win over as many as possible. And can we pray that we would have that heart? I want to, Lord, just bless our listeners right now with a missionary heart. I pray that we would all have the heart of St. Paul, that we would hunger every day, day after day after day, that we would win over as many souls as possible. Jesus, I want to become all things to all people so that I can win over souls. Lord, make us great missionaries. I want to be a missionary disciple this day and all days, Jesus. Send your spirit upon us. Make us missionary disciples.
I just want to pray, Father, too, that in the name of Jesus, you said through St. Paul to make love our aim and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Yes, Father, Lord, I thank you for those people that spoke into Kevin's life, that heard the voice of Jesus and declared that to Kevin and launched him into a new horizon, into a life of ministry. So, Father, I pray that you stir up that prophetic dimension, that we are baptized priest, prophet, and king, and that we are able to hear your voice and speak it to others to convict people and lead them to declare that God is truly present in the Catholic Church,
Woo!
That God is doing a new thing.
Amen.
He's not asleep. Our God is not
he
a sleeping God.
He
is alive and he is well. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So we're going to take a break right now. When we come back on the flip side, we're going to have Kevin sharing his amazing encounter with us. So once again, you are listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a break.
God sometimes renamed people in Scripture when he did something radical in their lives. Simon was one of them. Jesus took him on a long journey from Galilee to Caesarea Philippi, where there's a massive stone cliff. He didn't want Peter to forget that image as long as he lived. And there, before the rock overshadowing the town, Jesus renamed Simon Peter, which means rock. He wanted that image seared into his mind, the image of stability itself. He wanted Peter to think of that every time somebody said his name. Good morning, rock. Rock, would you please pass the fish? Jesus knew that self-perception determines action, and he needed Peter to act as a rock-solid leader for his church. You may have all sorts of names for yourself. Jesus is speaking a new name over your life. Feel worthless? Your new name is worthy. Feel dirty? He calls you pure. Powerless? He calls you mighty. Poor? Rich in him. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Why do I have to follow so many rules?
Last week, I made some cookies. Shut up, guys can make cookies if we want. Anyway, I didn't want to follow that oppressive, rule-oriented recipe anymore. So instead of a cup of sugar, I substituted a cup of arsenic. The cookies were pretty terrible, but they illustrate a very good point. When we ask why we have to follow rules, we're really asking if we can trust God. If God is a tyrant who uses rules to oppress us and ruin our lives, then yeah, why would we want to follow those rules? But is he giving us rules to prevent us from being happy? Or is he giving us the perfect recipe for happiness? When we understand that God wants us to have life and have it to the full, we can start living like he wants us to. And we won't need rules anymore. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is the co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Patrick Rice, and I'm joined back in the studio with Dan Demite, and we are joined with Mr. Kevin Zawala, a.k.a. performing hip-hop artist Mr. Peace. Woo! Welcome to the show, Kevin!
Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, so good to have you, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to put you on the spot, and if you're really a hip-hop artist, I want you to rap right now. Dude, give me like some kind of spoken word or something. Can you do that, man?
Yeah, that's fine. Lord, I need you way more than a feeding tube, way more than YouTube needs another billion views. And so I look to fill all these empty pews by first emptying myself to get made new. Because how can I ask someone who's 22 to do unto others as you want done unto you, if I too haven't made the change and been infused by the Holy Spirit and clean through and through? And only then will we really see the breakthroughs. Some call it voodoo, but see, we know the real truth. So all you doubting Thomases, it's time to feel wounds. From the womb to the tomb, I pay homage to Christ. My heart and yours have been super glued. And stop loving you, sorry, but no can do. God the Father, thicker than that water blue. Know how I need you, because I can see you. That's a little something.
Yeah! Woo! I was having trouble keeping it down.
That's amazing.
That's so good.
That's sweet.
So,
oh, man.
So, Kevin, tell me about what was your life like growing up? I mean, your faith and family and stuff like that. Right. Can you give us a snapshot?
Yeah, you know, when I look back, you know, I was an altar server, and I made all the sacraments, First Communion, confirmation, and things like that. But
Where are you from?
You know, South Lyon, Michigan. So
okay.
About 30 miles west of Detroit.
Okay.
Born and raised right in that area. And but for me growing up, you know, I mean, I went to church every Sunday with my parents, and you know, we prayed the Angelus, you know, at the different times of the day, and we prayed the Rosary, and like I said, I was altar server too, and went to catechism and all those things, and could spit back all the facts to you about the Bible and the stories, but it was very surface level. You know, I hadn't really had a bigger encounter with Christ or with the Holy Spirit until kind of towards my college years.
So where did you go to college?
I went to U of M, the University of Michigan. So I know it's probably tough for you guys having me on the show.
We're located in Columbus.
Out of Columbus, Ohio. There.
Yeah.
No, joking. But yeah, I was at U of M Ann Arbor for my undergrad, and then I went to Wayne State University in Detroit, and that was for my MBA.
Nice.
That's awesome. So how did your faith express? What kind of expression did you see in college? What did you get involved in kind of overall?
Right. So, you know, coming from a pretty much all-white high school in South Lyon, Michigan, I got thrown into diversity at its fullest. You know, it's one of the big staples for U of M and a lot of colleges like it. And so my freshman hallway, I remember, was every race, every color, every religion, pretty much. And I was able to, you know, make a choice then, you know, was I going to embrace all of this diversity and grow from it, or was I going to resist it and kind of struggle? And I feel like, you know, God was telling me to kind of go all in and learn about other cultures and, you know, talk to people from other backgrounds. And I grew so much because of that.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. So, so at this point, you know, you're in college, you're really getting involved in these, I don't know if would you call them social justice initiatives or something, but your faith was, where was your faith at that point?
You know, I kind of fallen away from the church, you know, probably just with all the busyness, you know, going on, going to college and, you know, going through exams. And I did end up, you know, getting involved in a group Students Empowering Students, which we held an annual Peace Day event, and this was promoting ethnic and cultural equality, hence where my name comes from. We did it for about 10 years, even post-college, on the Diag right in the heart of campus to bring people together from other walks of life, and it's kind of like a celebration of the arts, basically, and like through music and poetry and break dancing and things like that. But on my faith side, you know, that was one thing to promote diversity in the arts, but on my faith side of things, it wasn't really until my senior year that I kind of refound that fire and my faith through the youth program that was at St. Mary's in Ann Arbor, and just kind of, you know, going to some workshops too that really opened my eyes and my heart to the Lord.
So the St. Mary's student ministry was really powerful and helped reconnect you with the faith and the sacraments. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, Sister Dorothy, who was there at the time, was one of my key mentors. Mm-hmm. And it was so many occasions that I went to her, you know, feeling so much stress from college and, you know, then even starting to be called to speak at different forums on campus. And, you know, the one piece of advice that she gave me that still rings true to this day is before every talk or before every interview that I do, I inhale Jesus and I exhale Christ.
Ooh.
And it just put me at peace, you know, those words, you know, telling me that I have the effort, but he has the outcome, that we can love, but only he can change. And it took a lot of the pressure off of me that, you know, if I did get the A- or the B+, because I was valedictorian of Southland High School 4.0, and when I got my first B+, I was crushed, you know, at U of M, and that kind of rocked my faith and rocked me to my core, because, you know, I started thinking to myself and having doubts about my worth, and am I as good of a human being as the people around me that are getting A's, and am I a failure? You know, all these things kind of started to creep into my mind, and it might sound kind of trivial because I got a B+, and for a lot of people that's great, but coming from a family growing up where, you know, love was based on performance and knowing that I had to get A's and that's where I thrived and always did, to not get that anymore was a really tough thing for me.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, the big trap in our culture is finding our identity in our performance and our achievement and how that's linked to our self-worth. Kevin, you told me about going to a workshop, a Challenge Day workshop. Can you share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, sure thing. You know, they're headquartered out of Northern California, and they've been around since the early 90s, Challenge Day, and they challenge youth to be the change, right? But I went to one of their three-day workshops, which is kind of like Challenge Day on steroids, and it challenges you to get real, right, about everything going on in your life. So lower your waterline, get vulnerable. You know, I don't come from a really huggy, touchy family, and when you first walked in, people are hugging you, and, you know, it was 50 strangers. It was a workshop, 25 men, 25 women down in Toledo, Ohio, and after 3 days of just kind of spilling our guts, basically, of all the stuff going on in our lives and getting past the surface, I was closer to some of these people than my own family.
Mm. Wow. So what was the, What was kind of like the big moment for that? What did that do to kind of like lead you into the ministry you're in now?
You know, the workshop took a faith-based tone to it just because everyone there was Christian. And towards the end of the workshop, though, it culminated in the two facilitators asking us all a question. And they said, if you ever thought about taking your life, please stand. And out of the 50 people that were there, I was the only person that didn't stand. And I looked around in that moment, and I just started bawling and crying. And, you know, I was like, I just spent 3 days seeing all the gold and the beauty and worth and all these people around me. But then to think that at some point in their life, they felt that the pain had gotten so high, the only solution was to take their life. It just tore me up inside. And then the follow-up activity to that, you know, they had us in circles blindfolded. And one at a time, every other 49 people came up to you, and you didn't know their face necessarily, but all you heard was their voice.
Wow.
And for me, you know, I'm a very firm believer that, you know, God and the Holy Spirit do speak to us through other people. And it was in that moment that people just saw through me, and they saw to my heart and to my mission and to what my purpose was going to be for this planet, that I was going to be a speaker and a leader. And they just started whispering things like, you will break down the walls of racism. You know, you will see people for their heart first. You will save lives. You do have a purpose. And I was just crying nonstop, you know, and tears are strength, the sweat of our strength and the start of healing, I believe. But it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit had done something in me that would make my life never the same, you know.
Wow. We like to do a praise break. Thank
yes.
you, Jesus. Yeah. That's amazing.
Thank you
That's
for speaking
beautiful.
Power.
Wow.
Life, destiny, Amen. Purpose in Jesus' name.
Kevin, you Keep just, yeah, the Lord just yeah. blasted you, right? And those words are so powerful. You will save lives. You will give people yeah. life. Like, that's just beautiful that God was giving you a powerful heart. I feel like it just sounds yeah. like God was molding in you the same heart of St. Paul, right? Like, I have a hunger for souls now. I want to win people over. I want to help save people. I love that you are just brokenhearted. I pray that prayer all the time. Lord, break my heart Thank for what breaks yours, right? Like, we just want to have right. a broken heart over the things that the Lord is broken over so that we can bring healing to this world. So you're bringing healing yeah. to the world, right?
Yes, I'm trying. You know, and just to kind of piggyback on what you just said, I tell people that I was broken until Christ broke in.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, you know, that light can shine through the brokenness, and that's what started to happen finally. You know, I've always been very driven and on fire, and going to U of M, you know, there's a very high percentage, like upper 90s of students that start there will graduate, whether they like it or not. You know, they're told to be a doctor or lawyer or business person as I was, and you just don't know how to fail, but so that you just, I mean, you succeed. And I was already, you know, 4 years deep into a economics major, but now after that workshop, you know, I finally started seeing that now my drive was finally in line with my purpose. And then I'm also a very firm believer too, that, you know, finding our purpose is God's gift to us. But then once we start to fulfill that, that's our gift back to Him.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I love that. Just thank you, Jesus, for accomplishing that. And
for freeing him from yeah. like this, a false destiny that was kind of put on him by other influences, that he could be free to do right. what God was calling him to do. Kevin, we're getting close to a break. So
sure.
we're going to go to break right now. You're listening to Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And when we, on the flip side, Kevin, we're gonna have you come back on and share with us what started happening in that next season of life. And then we also want to share, we want you to share about what your message is, what you're doing, and how our listeners can get in touch with you. So we're gonna take a break. Hold on right 1 minute.
This is a Young Catholic Minute.
Why do I have to follow so many rules?
Last week, I made some cookies. Shut up, guys can make cookies if we want. Anyway, I didn't want to follow that oppressive, rule-oriented recipe anymore. So instead of a cup of sugar, I substituted a cup of arsenic. The cookies were pretty terrible, but they illustrated a very good point. When we ask why we have to follow rules, we're really asking if we can trust God. If God is a tyrant who uses rules to oppress us and ruin our lives, then yeah, why would we want to follow those rules? But is He giving us rules to prevent us from being happy? Or is He giving us the perfect recipe for happiness? When we understand that God wants us to have life and have it to the full, we can start living like He wants us to. And we won't need rules anymore. For more, go to youtube.com/youngcatholic.
Some atheists attack the faith by propping up a ridiculous idea that no one actually has about God, and then knocking that idea down. Many proponents of atheism claim that we Christians believe in a God that's like a mythological creature flying around in space. The lead atheist, Richard Dawkins, has famously said that we might as well believe in a flying spaghetti monster. And an atheist Russian cosmonaut is credited with looking around in space and saying, "Well, I'm here, and I don't see God anywhere." Friends, that would be like Frodo reaching the summit of Mount Doom and saying, "I'm here looking around and there's no evidence of J.R.R. Tolkien anywhere." Frodo, you're in the story. Christians don't believe in a mythological creature flying around in space. We believe in a God who's the source of all creation, a God who is existence itself. He's not some powerful being in creation. All creation is in Him. As St. Paul penned, "In Him we live, we move, and have our being." That's what we mean when we say God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm back in the studio with Dan Demite.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have again on the show for our last segment, Kevin Zawala, a.k.a.
Mr. Peace!
Yes. So, Kevin, before we went to break, you were kind of sharing with us this powerful encounter experience of hearing God's voice through other people, the conviction that had, and this kind of call that you felt in the ministry. But you didn't get involved in ministry right away. You got involved in kind of corporate America. Is that right?
That's right.
Kevin, yeah, tell us that story.
It was my senior year and close to graduation. So I had a degree in economics, minor in Spanish. And so I ended up taking a job right out of college because I was an intern there during my junior year, and then going into my senior. It was at an auto supplier, Federal Mogul, and I took a job right here in Michigan as a sales and marketing person and ended up working there for about 5 years. But that entire time, you know, God had started to tug at my heart and was already starting to work and telling me, you know, on my off days or vacation time even and weekends and nights to start building what my dream, what my dream job would be. And so I ended up, you know, just building my website and meeting this mentor and starting to speak at this school and going back to my old high school and speaking. And then just to one class, sharing with them about purpose and about mission and about value in their life. And then every class wanted to hear me speak. And then it was a full school assembly. And then other schools heard about me. And it's just been nonstop. And then so finally in 2010, I made the leap of faith and I left a very high-paying job and comfortable job with benefits and went after the speaking full-time.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's kind of like a step out of the boat, right? Like, I'm going to try to walk on water here, Lord. I'm trusting in you.
So, Kevin, and not only are you, like, traveling and speaking, but you're also working in a parish. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I ended up falling into youth ministry about 2 years out of, after leaving corporate America. I was doing a hip-hop workshop with some of the students at St. Joseph's in Southland, Michigan, you know, my hometown. And the pastor at the time had seen me and said, hey, you know, the kids seem to be responding to you. Would you want to be our youth minister? I said, yeah. And that part-time turned to full-time, and the opportunity wasn't there to continue at that parish, but down the street at St. James in Novi, I became the full-time youth minister there for 3 years, speaking on the side. And then now, as of July 1st, you know, God was calling me to a whole new community, and so now I'm at St. Mary's, and that's also here in Michigan, right in Milford, Michigan.
That's awesome. Well, praise the Lord. So, Kevin, tell us about, where do you speak? Do you speak at, like, just Catholic schools or just youth groups?
I pretty much do everything, you know, K through 12, but I've, you know, talked, like, I tell all the students or, you know, the audience when I start to speak that I speak from age 5 to 105, and that's at public schools and private schools, so obviously, I love to, you know, share at any school that has a Christian backbone to it just because I, you know, the faith is such a huge component of my story and I don't have to worry about what I say. But going to the public schools, there's a fine line we walk in terms of talking about God. But I don't mind sharing, you know, kind of like you talked about before in the show, becoming weak to the weak and all things to all people to reach the most. And so if the kids see my cross or come up to me, you know, like if I stay for lunch and want to talk one-on-one or just reach out to me on social media, then I got free rein to talk about the faith.
That's so good.
Yeah, Kevin, what's your heart, man? Like, just pour out your heart to us. Like, when you're speaking to audiences, what's your main message?
It's to give them a sense of purpose and a sense of worth that so many have really lost sight of. You know, I just saw something the other day that the average person has about 60 to 78,000 thoughts per day. And out of these 60 to 78,000, 80% are, like, they're just negative thoughts in nature about themselves, you know. And then out of those 60 to 78,000, 98% are the same thoughts that we were just having just yesterday. So we're creatures of habit and playing the same negative record over and over and over again. And so many students come up to me and they say, that 80% for me is 110%. You know, I'm always thinking negative. I'm always feeling that I'm worthless, or if they were called a mistake, that they really buy into it. I had a seventh grader named Dylan came up to me after my talk and said, "Mr. Peace, you know, if you weren't here today, I probably wouldn't have seen the light tomorrow."
Wow.
And he said, you know, that he only thinks about himself as a mistake. And he had this thing in his wallet that he pulled out, and it read, "I'm a mistake." And he said, "I look at this at least once a day." And he said, "I don't want to believe this anymore. You know, I want to believe that I'm a miracle." And so I tell these students, you know, I tell them to look at their palms on their hands, and every one of us etched on the palms of at least one of our hands with our hand lines has the letter M drawn on our hands. And that M stands for miracle, right? And, and you know, upside down W stands for worthy. And for them to see that, to start buying into that they actually mean something, that they don't have to believe all these lies that were told to them, or the fear, you know, which is false evidence appearing real.
Ooh, that's a good word.
It's just huge, because that changes everything. There's a lot of opinions out there, but not all of them matter. What matters is that you know that you are beautiful and created in the image and likeness of our Lord and Savior, you know, and perfect in His eyes, and that's all you have to worry about.
Amen to that. You know,
so good.
I do, in our work with junior high ministry, I've noticed a lot of times junior high students, their default is almost negative speech to one another, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's hard for people. And I would say even maybe for adults, our default is to speak negative as opposed to positive. And like,
right.
Just how often do we get into these funks where we just are critical or cynical or sarcastic for no reason at all? And God, the voice of the Lord is an encourager, right? He just wants to speak life and love and joy. And it just sounds like you're helping people hear the voice of truth in this world filled with darkness.
Amen. You know, and one of the other, you know, key components to the message is that hurt people, right? And so what happens is that if we experience that pain, and we will experience it because we have billions of nerve endings in our bodies, so we will feel pain, emotional, spiritual, physical, right? Any type of pain, we always have a choice how to respond to that. But the tendency is, and the easy thing to do as a human being, is that if I'm hurting, you know, in my heart or, you know, in my soul, is to push that pain either onto myself, that I become that hurt person and I talk negatively to myself, or even, you know, we see the self-harm issues happening, or even worse than that, and we see this too often in the news, is people hurt others. You know, we see this with school shootings and people that just seemingly lose it and feel that there's no other alternative but to try to hurt someone else. And again, I feel that's the easy thing to do, but the hard thing to do, and the other really key part of my message that I really try to preach and push, is that healed people heal people.
Wow.
And if I choose to forgive,
amen,
if I choose to let God enter fully in the Holy Spirit, you know, cleanse my soul and cleanse my heart and, you know, start a fire in my soul, right, to just, you know, burn away all the negativity and all the hurt and all the pain and replace it with compassion and kindness and peace and love and grace, then, you know, that hurt people turns into healed people who can then go and now heal others.
Amen. Wow.
That's so good.
That's,
I love that,
powerful.
Like the... You focus on the lies and like these lies that people believe, like, I am a mistake. And they might point to things in their life that get them to believe that. And I feel like one of the images of the devil that I think is so accurate is from Revelation 12, that the devil is called the accuser, mm-hmm, who accuses the Holy One like day and night. And he's like accusing us of all these things in our life and pointing them back to us. And, you know, making us responsible for the wounds that we've experienced at the hands of other people. But I feel like that the scripture that is the antidote is Jesus himself, when he says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And our job is to bring that truth, to expose the lies for what they are. And I feel like that's what you're doing. You're going into these places, you're unmasking these lies, the roots of these lies of hurt people hurting people. But then the truth that you are a miracle, you are worthy, and when truth is spoken, it resonates in our spirit.
Yeah, I'm just getting the sense that you know, I think it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, young people are hurting, right? Like, and Kevin, you speak to a lot of, like, you go into schools, and it makes sense that
right.
They're hurting. But whether in our audience right now, whether you're 13, you're 30, or you're 73, we're hurting, and mm-hmm. And if you're hurting, this message is for you, right? That you are worthy and you are a miracle. That God, you are the handiwork of God. God fashioned you with his hands and he loves you and he has a purpose for you. Amen. And he has a plan for you. Kevin, what do you want to say to our audience right now? If they're hurting in their life, what word would you give them?
Hope. Hope. Mm. You know, it's that as long as, you know, I tell people and so many students that as long as you are willing to and able to keep your heart open, you will never be alone. And I always tell them too that if our Savior needed help carrying his cross, what does that say about us, right? That if you keep that open, and it's not easy to, because the tendency is that if I've been hurt before, you know, then I don't want to keep my heart open again because I could get hurt again. And yeah, that's true, but the reward, like the potential reward, is greater than the risk, right? And that's a relationship with our Creator and our Savior. And that if we know that, you know, not only will we be not be alone in terms of friends and best friends who see us for the heart first, and, you know, like 1 Samuel 16:7, where it says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, you know, that we have these true best friends who are worth our time and that value us and that kind of illuminate our mirrors when we don't feel that we're worth everything or that we don't have any value, that they kind of are that light to remind us that we are miracles. We have these physical people here, but we also have that relationship with God that where he's there, you know, in our corner, right next to us, right within us, saying that I love you and you are beautiful, and despite any brokenness, despite any pain, I will be here for you. Mm. And you have hope.
So good. Kevin, mm-hmm. Can you share with us, are there like stories of young people being impacted by this message that come to mind?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've spoken out over 500,000 youth over the last decade all across the country. And before every talk, I choose about 10 or 12 bracelets that I put on. And these become my armor or my strength, right? And I have thousands of these from over the years. And the people like Dylan that I just talked about that said, you know, Mr. Peace, if you weren't here today and didn't come to speak to us today, I probably wouldn't be here tomorrow, right? And I remember I spoke to a group of eighth graders, came back a few weeks later for their graduation ceremony. Same topic as today, overcoming negative thoughts about yourself and not believing all the lies. And it turns out that a mom got up on the microphone to share at this graduation ceremony. She could barely stand. She was fighting cancer and had a cane and said, I checked myself out of the hospital against doctor's orders, but I wanted to be here for my daughter, Julie, to see her graduate. And she said, I just want to thank Mr. Peace for saving her life. And she didn't know that I was in the back of the room, but she said the day I spoke, Julie came home and she went into her room and she pulled out a letter and she ran to the living room and she tore it up in front of her mom and started hugging her and embracing her. And it was a letter with intentions that very night, the same night that I spoke, that she was ready to end things and take her life, and she had it all planned out. But what I shared stopped her from doing that.
Wow.
the same stories, you know, like going back to Dylan even, that he said, I don't want to believe that I'm a mistake anymore. You know, I want to believe that I'm a miracle now, right? That he was able to put that down. And ironically, you know, I've spoken to other schools where there is a Dylan and a different Dylan, but they're going through the same thing. And they tell me the same story, and it's just not even a coincidence, you know. It's a God moment, you know. I also had this 11th grade student come up to me a few months back at a youth conference I spoke at, and her name was Emily, and I could tell right off the bat she was talking slower, so something had, you know, gone wrong with her brain or something. You know, she was fighting something, and turns out that she did have a stroke a few weeks before that, had brain surgery, and you know, I showed the students, you know, the M on their hands, and she came up to me and she said, I can't see my Mr. Peace. I said, well, can I see your other hand? And it was closed. She had a thing called Dupuytren's contracture where her tissue in her hand starts to gradually harden and her fingers were clenched inward. And the only thing to fix that is surgery. And I said, well, can I peel it back and see if you have an M? And one finger at a time, I did that. And underneath was the biggest M that you've ever seen.
Right? Wow.
She's been told things like, you got to pack your bags because they're shipping you out of here. And, you know, made fun of because of her mental condition. And like her worth has gone down the drain. And for her to see that was so vital because she now saw that she is a miracle. She is worth this. And then 2 weeks later, I get an email from her saying she went to the doctors to, you know, talk about her brain injury. But out of nowhere, she now has full movement in her hand.
Whoa! Praise break.
We're going to take a praise break. Jesus, we thank you for the promise that you've given us, that we live under an open heaven through our baptism, that we can hear your voice, that we can proclaim your truth. And we proclaim your truth, Holy Spirit, you write in on our words. Jesus, I thank you that you said that these signs will accompany those who believe, that they will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Jesus, thank you for healing that young woman through Kevin's hands, Jesus, and just writing in on that. Father, I pray that we would have the boldness and the courage to go into places like public schools that are in some people's minds enemy territory and proclaim the gospel of peace and watch your signs and wonders flow and watch hurt people be healed and healed people heal other people. And I pray that you just stir up that zeal in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Kevin, that's awesome.
I was going to say, I mean, like, that was a physical healing, and I've had other ones where it's more spiritual. I had a student, when I do hip hop, I'm all around the room and just randomly high fiving people and touching them on their heads. And this student named Joe had sent me an email about a week after I spoke, and he just said, "I've been fighting so much, of this hurt because my grandfather, who was basically my father, died a few weeks before you spoke." And I was carrying that burden and that weight. And he said, as soon as you touched me, he said, it felt like the hand of God had touched me. And that weight was lifted, right, and that burden. And I guess the only reason I'm saying this is because the physical healing, I mean, that's great if that happens and when it happens and if God's willing to, if it's according to his will at the time for that to happen. But the bigger component through all of this and through my physical challenges that I've had in my past or anybody that's in a wheelchair and they say, why did God do this? And, that person is already whole spiritually if they believe in Christ and have that relationship and ask him to come into their heart to heal them, right? So that's the bigger healing that takes place is the spiritual one.
Amen.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Yeah. I don't underestimate the power of your hands, listeners. When we carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we see all throughout Scripture, the Holy Spirit is transferred through the laying on of hands. And that's just an amazing testimony, Kevin, that when you were doing hip-hop, so you're just goofing off with the crowd of kids.
Right.
And you're goofing off and you place your hand on his head, and he experienced a spiritual healing at that moment. I've had times in my life where I'll shake someone's hand and they step back and like, whoa, I just experienced the presence of God. Our hands carry the anointing of God. So when you're talking to people, don't be afraid to place your hand on their shoulder and talk. Like, there's something powerful about the presence of God inside of us. And that's a beautiful witness, Kevin, that you carry it even when you're not expecting
it. It just shows how incarnational our faith is. That, like, God actually, when he said, like, when we have that teaching that you are the body of Christ, like, he has no hands but yours, no feet to walk but yours, St. Teresa of Avila, right? It's like God is just, I feel like God's in heaven. He's like, I just wish someone would go, like what part of my body would go over there and just touch that lost person and I will just flow through them, but I need you to go. And I mean, like, it's like God, we give God the, availability and he gives us the ability.
Amen.
It's a matter of going.
Amen. One of my favorite scripture verses is John chapter 10, verse 10. And Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy, but I have come so you might have life and have it to the fullest. And if we are doing the ministry of Jesus, I feel like that we are bringing the full and abundant life to people. And I feel like, Kevin, that scripture verse is just really the anthem of your ministry, right? That the thief, he comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. He's spreading these lies and this darkness, but you're striving to bring life and life to the fullest. And I just thank you for the work you're doing for the church.
That's so good, bro. Kevin, I'd like our listeners to hear some more of your spoken word. Do you have, can I put you on the spot again?
Yeah, sure thing. I just kind of go where my heart's being called and, different verses or different things in my mind that are kind of relating to, the theme or the topic of the day. But I guess one that comes right off my mind is that perfect love drives out fear, and it starts to make life just a bit more clear, because God is love, and wherever you go, he's with you through the heat, sleet, rain, or snow. I know, though I walk through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil because I have the breath of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't be more blessed, saying, come follow me, and I'll give you rest. And whoever trusts him will be kept safe. It's got something to do with that amazing grace. Fear not, be not afraid, how sweet the sound. Got me leaping tall buildings in a single bound. Feeling so strong and saved because I've been made new. You're either living in fear or you're living in truth. But see, I choose the latter, and the latter to heaven. Yeah, truth from our Savior is what leads to freedom. Amen.
Amen.
So, awesome.
So
praise
good.
The Lord.
And so you'll just like go into the school, you'll just start rapping and doing spoken word and preaching all together. That's
I mean, a lot of times, that's the way that I relate to the youth is through the hip-hop and the spoken word, and that's able to kind of get their respect through that talent, and then I'm able to take the message a little bit deeper. But usually, if it's public school, I'm just replacing the word God with love, right? And so I'm still speaking about purpose and mission and vision and life and hope, and you can't think, I mean, you can't help but think that there's something deeper. And that's when the students come up to me, you have a line of like 50 or 60, whether it's elementary or high school, their kids are still in pain and they just want to share their heart. And I tell them, look, I don't have all the answers. I just try to be a mirror to reflect what you already know, that you guys are beautiful and miracles and worth everything. And I say, you know, I don't have all the answers, but he does. And he speaks through me, and the Holy Spirit guides my tongue and my lips as I speak his truth, as straight as an arrow, as straight as his cross, to the hearts, the minds, the soul, the spirits of the youth.
Amen.
So good.
Amen. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. I just pray, listeners, I think the lie often creeps into our minds, too, that like, oh, that's awesome that God's using Mr. Peace like that, but he couldn't use me like that because I don't know how to do hip-hop or I don't know how to write spoken words. Like, God wants you to do what you're doing and doing it for him, right? Like, so he gave Kevin that gifting for Kevin to serve the church in that way. But God wants to use you to speak his word in the world. And he gives you a word on your heart and a brokenness in your heart, right? Whatever that brokenness in your heart is, that's your message. Like, if your heart is broken over the unborn, like, then make that your message. If your heart's broken over the poor, make that your message. Like, that there was a point in Kevin's life where his heart became broken for those who felt unloved and unwanted. And you've made a ministry out of it. And God wants to make a minister out of all of us, right? Mm-hmm. That we're all called to be disciples who follow Christ and who make are fishers of men, that we make other disciples.
One thing I really want to encourage listeners, like, if it wasn't for those people that were speaking into his life, that were speaking the word of the Lord about the destiny that they had for him, Kevin, maybe is it true that this might not be happening right now without that grace?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, hands down. And, you know, it's kind of ironic that, you know, like, the work I'm doing is to help people that, you know, sometimes feel like they have no hope, that they have no way out. But those are the same people that helped me, right? And so anytime that a student comes up to me and says, you know, I had an unsuccessful attempt. You know, I've had people come up and say that I got this tattoo on my arm to cover up this attempt, you know, at suicide. I've had people give me their hospital bands, you know, that don't say a word, but just get, you know, give me a hug and start crying. And I know instantly that this was an unsuccessful attempt, but I'm very clear with these people saying, you know, there's a reason that you're still here, right? There's a reason that it didn't work. And that's because you're here to help others that are going through the same thing. And that becomes, you know, part of your cross, part of your burden, but that you are blessed with a burden. And yeah, to answer your question, I think, you know, those people, and, you know, I had talked about it earlier in the show, that the same people that had thought about ending their lives and maybe did have a few unsuccessful tries were the same ones that were letting me know what they saw in me, and that they were, like, illuminating my mirror, right, and my heart, more or less, to say, here's the path that you're going to be heading down. And I didn't see it all clearly at the time, and I couldn't imagine where I'm at now speaking nationally and what God's done in my life and in my heart, but it's just amazing.
Kevin, you know, can you share with our
trust.
We're starting to come to an end of the show. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, sure. www.mrpeace.org. MrPeace.org is basically where they can find all the information on me, whether it's Instagram, Mr. Peace Geese, or Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Mr. Peace 101. They can download all my music for free there. They can watch more videos if they want to book me to come to their school, church, organization, wherever. You know, I travel anywhere. I'm more than happy to come share my heart.
That's so good.
Awesome. Praise the Lord.
So, Kevin, we're just gonna pray that whatever grace has been just release, that that would just be planted in good soil today in our listeners, that they would go and do likewise, and they would be open to whatever God wants in their life. So we're going to pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, we worship you. We glorify you. We declare that you are active. You are living. You are alive. You are continuing to speak through your people. You are releasing a prophetic generation to speak the Lord's truth to people that need a word of hope, to route that you're going to put a word in everybody's mouth that is going to point to their destiny, that's going to speak the gold and the purpose. And the purpose that people have is going to set them free into a life of mission, of walking, looking, loving, healing like Jesus. So God, I pray that that any way that you've stirred up in people, that that flame would come more alive. And I pray that in Jesus' name.
Come. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just getting the sense that the Lord is just doing a lot of different things right now in different people's hearts. And so I just want you, as our listeners, just ask the Lord, what are you speaking to me right now? I think the Lord wants to heal some of you. He wants to heal you from the brokenness in your heart. And the Lord says, those wounds you've carried with you for so long, I'm healing those right now. I'm taking those burdens away from you. Come, Holy Spirit, heal them, Lord. Heal them. Lord says, for some of you, you've been laden with fear for so long, and I'm going to embolden you to share my gospel. No longer will you be fearful. Now you will be bold in the gospel. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on Encounter, a production of St. Gabriel Radio with EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Kevin, thank you so much for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and listeners, remember, healed people heal people.
And if you want to learn more about us or our show or how you can share your life-changing encounter, go to www.encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.